Hey, Justin.
Oh, no. You've got Barry tonight.
Okay, cool. Also, didn't see you there. Welcome to week three.
Hi, everybody. I have a cold.
Yeah. Pull up a chair and let our competing dulcet tones soothe you.
Pull up a chair and a lozenge if you have one handy, and let's let's get into it.
So, if you didn't read the title of the episode, that's cool. That's what we're here for. In our latest comics episode, a couple weeks back, it featured a long box segment on the Superpowers tie-in comics.
Mm-hmm.
And that got me thinking. And by the way, just a brief description of the show: we talk about whatever we want.
Pretty much.
That's it. There you go. That's the syllabus. There will be a quiz. But it featured a long box segment on the Superpowers tie-in comics, and it's my turn this week. And that got me thinking about all of the different superhero action figures, dolls, whatever you want to call them, that I have held in my grubby little hands over the years. So yeah. I thought, I can probably talk for 15 to 20 minutes on this.
Seems reasonable.
So let's start vamping, as they say in the biz. Now, pop quiz, what do you think the first superhero toy was?
Oh, the very first superhero toy?
Yes.
Stickman. With detachable leaf cape.
I'm certain that that is probably technically the truth somewhere. The first...
And his arch nemesis, Rock Dude.
The first mass-produced, anyway, superhero toy was, in fact, Superman.
That was going to be my second guess, yes.
Superman doll. It dates back to 1939. Right after the radio serials became popular, Ideal Toys was the company behind it.
Yeah.
And it was made of wood. It wasn't very articulated. And I sent you a picture earlier. It looks kind of weird.
Okay. You say it's not very articulated, but 14 points of articulation.
Yeah. None of those bent.
Oh, it was just there.
Yeah. That was just there.
Oh, never mind then. Because it looked like, so he sent me, we'll get into the description of this picture in a minute, because that's a whole nother thing.
Yeah, I'll probably use it as the cover art for the episode, actually.
But it looks like, it looks like its ankles move, its knees move, it moves at the hips and the waist, wrists, elbows, shoulders, and neck. It looks like all those points move. And I'm like, that is more articulate than the Superpowers toys were.
Yeah. Yeah. It looks like it's got a
bunch
of ball joints.
And now you're telling me that none of those joints move.
Yeah. No, none of those move. It's just the way they did the woodworking.
Okay.
It's to give them definition.
Ah.
You know,
well,
that,
good on them.
Well, that little thing sold like crazy, you know, tied in with the radio serials and all that stuff. But when
it looks like they carved the trunks. It looks like they put his butt on his front.
That's just the super camel toe.
And what a super one it is, because there's I get it. It's a child's toy, so there's no definition, but it is badonkin.
But when I say action figure...
But I digress.
When I say action figure, what you are probably thinking about started in the 1960s with, again, Ideal Toys. They wanted to make a knockoff of Hasbro's popular G.I. Joe dolls for boys. And they came up with Captain Action.
Yeah.
Captain Action was basically a G.I. Joe that could wear different costumes. So he could be Superman, Batman, whatever. But another change in the toy format came in the 1970s. And if you've seen any episodes of Robot Chicken, you know about Mego.
Oh, yeah.
Now, fun story about Mego. They started off making cheap toys for dime stores. But in 71, they shifted into licensed properties. Now... you've seen Mego toys. Do you ever have one? I had a couple.
I actually have one. I have a Batman and a Two-Face, I think, somewhere in storage at the moment. But yeah.
Yeah, but they're basically kind of like a crossbreed between like the Barbie type doll and like what a more traditional action figure. They have fabric clothing, but plastic hands and feet and head, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, they were pretty dope, honestly. I did have to keep rolling down the sleeves of a Spider-Man one I had because they just kept kind of going up for whatever reason.
Which is weird, but...
Yeah, well, so I would put his hands above his head to, like, mimic web swinging. Fall. And the sleeves would come down. It kind of looked like in cartoons when Bugs Bunny rolls his fur up and there's
rolls
just
his arm up.
Yeah, there's just a bare, like, human arm underneath, kind of like that, so...
This Spider-Man means business.
And he sounds oddly like the one from the 60s show. Now, Kenner also entered the market in the 70s. You know about these guys. It's the Star Wars figures, the little 4-inch.
Oh, yeah.
You know, things that were everywhere, which my favorite story about that is how the guy who was supposed to sell these to Kenner themselves... He didn't have a cloak for for Obi-Wan, so he just cut off a swath from his own brown sock and used a rubber band to kind of fashion it around the Obi-Wan figure. And they're like, that's brilliant, let's do it. So I hope he got new socks.
This is not the footwear you're looking for.
But they didn't have much in the way of intricate details or anything. They were cheap to make, they looked good enough, and they were... everywhere, and you can still get those today, although Kenner was bought a couple decades ago by Hasbro, so the same company that owns Transformers and My Little Pony also owns the toy rights to Star Wars.
Yeah.
But when I say action figures, you and I both think of the 80s.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So
you and I are both vintage 81 and 82, I believe.
Yeah, yeah. So like, I could mention Masters of the Universe and Thundercats. Those definitely fall under the line.
Yep.
So does Silverhawks and a few of the other.
The less said about that, the better.
That's true. Although the toys were pretty tight. But
the toys
the
were
show,
dope.
The show, not so much. But I want to specifically talk about two brands, Superpowers and Secret Wars.
Yes.
Yeah. So let's start with Superpowers. It's a DC brand. They were the sturdy plastic with some articulated joints. You could move the knees. The arms were kind of static, you know, but they did have the superpower action.
Even the knees, the superpower action aside, the knee joint was amazing based compared to other toys that just moved at the hip.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And the super
even
power
He-Man
action.
Couldn't squat.
Yeah. So it made them more poseable. The super power action meant you could squeeze their legs or their shoulders, and they would do a thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, usually it was just kind of like a spring-loaded thing, like Superman throws a punch, and so does Batman, and Robin has a little tiny little karate chop that he does.
Which only works if he's always asking a question.
Yeah.
If his arm is always up. Otherwise, he's whacking behind him or going up into a very weird straight-out arm thing.
It's a very aggressive handshake.
Boy Wonder, huh? Nice to meet you.
Holy greetings. But, you know, as iconic as the line is, it only really lasted for 3 years. You know?
Yeah.
Wrapped up in 87, it was briefly revived as DC Superheroes by Toy Biz in 89 alongside toys based on the Batman film. And, but, you know, those just didn't feel the same quality.
We'll circle back to that in a minute.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But, you know, I do think that the Superpowers line has still aged really well. I liked how they were different sizes, which I think was also a first. Like, Darkseid was, like, twice the size of Superman, for example.
Mm-hmm.
That they weren't all just the same mold. And honestly, I think they age better. I've got a Superpowers Superman and Clark Kent combo on my bookshelf upstairs, and looks as good now as it did back in the 80s.
Yeah, mine not so much because I really played with, not saying you didn't, but I really played with them as a kid. My Batman is lost to time.
Aw.
Well, I gave it to a cousin as because I started collecting from the movie line, and so yeah. I gave him that Batman, not realizing that future Justin was going to go, don't. Robin is still in very good condition, but Superman, his knees aren't what they used to be.
Well, and usually it was the chest emblem that went away first.
Yeah, that's still sort of there. You can tell it's still Superman. There's no logo on the back of the cape anymore. And okay, that's not true. It looks like there's a little bit of Cheeto dust on the back of the cape at this point.
Well, you know, if we're being completely honest, this is my second Superman. And the Clark Kent was, that was like a mail-in special thing.
Oh, yeah, I remember the commercial for that one.
And it was something that my lovely spouse got me as a birthday gift was Clark Kent and a fresh Superman, which is nice. But
I was going to say, I remember when you got that and you were so excited to show me. And then I was so excited to be holding it.
When I was a kid, I took pretty good care of them. But my Superman lost his cape and we ended up making him one with like a little bit of red silk, a bit of wire as like the neck apparatus thing. And the S was like the most jank S you could think of, where it's just like, it was almost like I was going for a punk rock aesthetic the way it was stitched in, you know, but that was not intentional. But before we get to Secret Wars, you know, like I said earlier, DC Superheroes was a line that came out shortly after. And yeah. It was not as good. The plastic felt weird. I don't know if that makes any sense. It just didn't feel right.
I get it.
Yeah, they were stiffer. I did like the Mr. Freeze one. You could put in the freezer and he would turn blue. So that was fun.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Yeah, the Mr. Freeze one was a color change one. So I would periodically have him... I had this little bowl that I kept marbles in, so I would just fill that with water, put him in it, put them in the freezer, and then, you know, oh, okay. Look, he's breaking out, and he's blue and all that stuff, so that was fun.
Roar.
Yeah, yeah, I was a weird kid. Now, DC has brought back the Superpowers line for modern audiences, but it's not the same.
No.
Yeah, they don't have the action features, and they have, you know, focus on kind of like updated looks for a few of the characters. They're doing the Batman Who Laughs as...
Yeah, I've seen that, and it's an odd choice.
Yeah, I'm just... We'll get into Batman Who Laughs another day, but I'm kind of over that character. But McFarlane Toys is doing the designs for that, so, you know, it's a line that's still alive. Meanwhile, we have Secret Wars. Did you have any of these figures?
I did, but can we go back to Superpowers for just a minute?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it is not uncommon for toy companies to reuse molds or parts for other properties down the line.
Right.
So who produced the Superpowers toys? Was it Kenner?
Yes.
Yes. Kenner also got the rights to do the toys for Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves that starred Kevin Costner.
Okay.
They reused Green Arrow's body.
Oh, my God.
For Robin Hood. And this is confirmed, but I also had one because on his belt buckle, it's a G.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's wonderful.
And then they just slapped Kevin Costner's head on.
That's fair.
Yeah. Also, and I promise we'll get to Secret Wars in a minute, but Toy Biz, you said Toy Biz had the rights to make the knockoffs later and...
Yeah, and the 89 Batman
movie
yeah.
line.
Yeah, yeah.
When you told me this is what we were talking about, the first thing that came to my mind was that when Batman Returns came out and they started releasing toys for that, the Penguin looked nothing like Danny DeVito's Penguin. It was the Superpowers Penguin.
Yes.
In just a black tuxedo instead of a blue one. And I'm just like, even as a kid, I'm like, no.
No, but I did like the
I have this already.
I did like how the Batman Returns figures, they had a Robin figure, even though Robin was nowhere near the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a pretty darn good Robin figure. And
yeah, he looked like the modern Robin from the comics, you know, the pants, buzz cut, you know, flat top kind of thing.
They even had a blue and gray Batman, and those were always what I ended up gravitating towards. Because that's what I saw as a kid, was blue and gray. Black was, you know, kind of an odd choice for me. But, of course, now black is standard bat, I guess.
Yeah. But what's funny is I think Kenner still had rights, or some other toy company had rights, because there were two lines of Batman movie toys. There was one by Toy Biz, which looked funky, and then there was another one that had, like, Keaton's face on the box art and everything. And that was the superior toy, and that's what I had. I had the Toy Biz Batmobile and vehicles, but I had the, like, Kenner action figures.
Oh, man, the vehicles, just the sheer number of vehicles. I loved the Superpowers one for the Batmobile with the battering ram.
Oh, yeah.
And the headlights and the little clamp on the back of it.
Clamp in the back, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Well, we could do a whole other episode just about the vehicles.
Just
moving on. We got to give Marvel equal billing here. Okay, so
yes.
Secret Wars figures, they were almost like a rubbery type of plastic, mm-hmm. you know? Their arms and legs didn't have joints, but you could still bend them a little.
Little?
Yeah. They were durable as heck. I know that much, because you could, you know, freaking launch these things across the house and they'd be fine. Their paint would...
Because they weren't plastic, they were solid rubber.
Yeah, their paint would usually wear off, and they did have some weird ideas for accessories. I remember Wolverine's claws were just like snap-on bracelet gauntlets.
Yes.
And Captain America's shield had this weird little hologram thing inside it.
Where you saw, like, his face turn into the cap and...
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, they were the same size, more or less, as the Superpowers figures. You could have your own crossovers. That was a little bit of fun. But
yeah,
Marvel...
I had,
go ahead.
I was going to say, I had Spider-Man, Captain America, Wolverine, and Magneto.
I had... I didn't have Magneto. I had those three plus Doctor Doom and Daredevil.
Nice.
Yeah. And my Doctor Doom, I lost the cape, like, instantly.
Of course.
And Wolverine, I don't know what happened to the claws, but, you know.
Yeah.
But that Spider-Man one, I ended up painting him black. I know they did like a black suit Spider-Man one, but me being a dumbass 9-year-old, I just, you know, painted it black and like, there you go.
Yeah. I still have all of mine in a bin in my storage unit. Again, I don't have the claws. I don't have the shields or whatever, but I have the figures.
Well, if anyone's looking to make us an offer. But Marvel...
I got a kid that's got to go to college someday, so...
But Marvel toys, I think, got really good in the 90s.
Yes.
This was when Toy Biz actually nailed it. They got the rights to Marvel figures right when the X-Men and Spider-Man animated series were on TV.
Mm-hmm.
And holy crap. It's kind of like in a lot of things where, like... when either DC or Marvel finds their particular niche, they are just golden. Right now for DC, it's animation. And for Marvel, theatrically, it's live action. But in the 90s, when they got a hold of these X-Men and Spider-Man rights, dear God, the toys were amazing. Wolverine's claws, I'll never forget this. One version of Wolverine had claws that retracted into his hands, and there was like a little lever at the back of the bicep.
Uh-huh.
You know, and you could hit it and the claws would shoot out. Sabretooth had like a little panel on him that rotated to show that he had like battle damage from Wolverine, that kind of stuff. Cyclops' eyes lit up, which as a kid in the 90s, that was awesome. I loved how Magneto had magnets inside the toy's body. So you could like have him literally holding metal.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, well, they did like a couple revisions of each one, and like the first version of Magneto, it was kind of a bit of a stiff figure and not very well defined, because they got more and more defined as the line went on. But he had magnets mm-hmm. on his hands and his chest, and so I would just like randomly like slap a quarter on his chest or something like that.
Nice.
Oh boy. Now Marvel does the Legends series, which is, you know, pretty good. Just like the DC Multiverse line, that's about $20 a figure, and they're really detailed. Both lines are really good as far as detail, but there's an even bigger fear that I'm going to break them. And yeah. And also, if you liked a particular figure, both companies now practice forced scarcity through limited production runs that I'm sure that everyone has noticed. So you better pick up that Jessica Cruz Green Lantern or that Laura Kinney version of Wolverine when you see it, because you will not get another chance.
I remember as a kid, I had some Christmas or birthday money burning a hole in my pocket, and my parents, and I'm going to date myself here, kids, took me to Toys R Us.
Woo!
And I wandered up and down the aisles, and I found what I thought was the holy grail of toys. It was a box set of X-Men figures. It had Iceman, Jean Grey, Cyclops, Wolverine in the yellow and blue outfit, you know, Professor X in the cartoon accurate wheelchair and all that stuff. And it was just, there was like maybe 8 to 10 figures in there, and it was so cool. I grabbed it, I paid for it, got it in the car, I opened the box. It was a display model. All the figures had been glued into place.
Oh, no.
With little pegs on their feet so you couldn't remove them and play with them.
Oh.
So we turned around, returned it, and I got Mario Paint.
Hey, Mario Paint's pretty darn good.
Let that be a lesson to you kids. Oh, it was. Yes, I had hours of fun with that. But lesson learned, read the fine print.
Yeah. I will never forget. Yeah, we're in the stage now where we're going to wrap up, but I want to talk about like just our favorite figures or memories of them. And I had the Sentinel from the Toy Biz X-Men line, which like the average figure was about 4.5-5 inches tall. Mm-hmm. The Sentinel was 1.5 feet tall. And it had this chest compartment where if you hit the Sentinel on the head, the chest compartment would open, and you could store a figure in there as the Sentinel has captured the X-Man, that kind of thing.
Nice.
And I had no idea how much it cost, but man, I was happy to have it.
I had the X-Men Blackbird, the jet.
Ooh, nice. I never found that.
I still do, actually. I still do.
That's pretty cool.
And it separated into three separate parts. So you had the cockpit where a figure could set in and the canopy closed, the middle portion, like the top opened up and it kind of extended out to be like the computer base, whatever. And then the third back section with the thrusters, another figure could sit in and it could be like a scout ship or something.
That's nice.
Those were all good, but I'd have to say the toy line that I had the most of were Ninja Turtles.
Oh, yeah, of course.
I mean, nothing against Marvel and DC and all that stuff, but for me, growing up, after He-Man, which was my real first foray into hero toys, it was Ninja Turtles. I had so many of them.
Oh, wow. And, yeah, the Ninja Turtles by Playmates, the Ninja Turtles line freaking informed the whole that era of the show and the lore and all that, because they were pumping out characters just so they could have new toys to put on the shelves.
Uh-huh.
I didn't really get how... I didn't like how Shredder in the original line for the toys, I didn't like how he looked malnourished.
Yeah. He kind of had some scoliosis going on, malnourished. He never stood up straight. He was always kind of hunched over. To this day, he never stands up straight. I've got one on display, and I've got him leaning up against a thing.
Oh, you know,
but
he's just,
to be
he's...
fair, he looked about as malnourished as the foot soldier figurines.
That's true.
Made in his own image.
Oh, boy. So you just, you know, this is basically two 40-somethings telling you kids, like, you don't know how good you have it, essentially.
Yeah.
And that we had it better.
We did. You have it amazing, but we still had it better.
Yeah. Although, if I can find me, I know a few years back they did a run of Batman the Animated Series figures.
Yes.
And I'm not talking the McFarlane Toys version where, like, his legs look like they belong on some other character.
Yeah.
I really don't get why they went with like twigs for legs for the McFarlane version.
I don't know either.
But man, if I saw on eBay, there's a set of like Batman, Joker, Harley Quinn, and Harvey Bullock, but I can't justify $120.
Yeah, I saw one at a local comic movie place here where I live, and it was expensive. But I also had a ton of those back in the day.
Yeah.
The animated series toys. I mean, I'm talking the Batmobile, which is probably my favorite Batmobile from the animated series.
Yeah.
But I had the Batmobile, I had the Batwing, I had the Batcycle, which was both cool and not cool because Batman was perma stuck to it. He was molded with the cycle.
Yeah, yeah, I remember that.
And his arms moved up and down, but if you pulled it back and let go, it would zoom across the room. So that was cool.
Yeah, that was probably like one of the better DC lines in the 90s.
Oh, yeah. I had the Bat ATV, the Bat all-terrain vehicle.
I don't remember the Batva.
It wasn't in the show.
Naturally.
Naturally. There was also like a little bat mech, which I've also got, which again, it wasn't in the show.
Oh, that's just great.
It is. It was wonderful.
Oh, well, I've reached the end of my notes. So thanks for talking toys with me.
Hey, anytime. And as somebody who is surrounded by toys as we speak.
Yeah.
I'm always happy to do so.
Yep, man, children, we are, but that's fine.
Yes, I actually have a little shrine to He-Man and the Masters of the Universe just off to my left.
Hey, C.S. Lewis said, when we become an adult, we give up childish things, including the desire to be very grown up.
Exactly.
So,
and as I said earlier, I am a Toys R Us kid, and I do not want to grow up.
So sound off on our Discord. Tell us about your favorite action figures, that kind of stuff. The ones that you remember the most. And of course, rate these episodes as you find them on your favorite podcast services, including Stitcher, Apple Podcast, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, Amazon Music, Good Pods. I know I'm forgetting a couple. Basically, if you have a podcast service you like, we're probably on it.
Mm-hmm.
You know. And be sure to check out next week. Justin and Chad are going to have a new episode of Watch What. And
it's a good one.
They're all good ones. So be sure to check that out. And we've got new content every week. Also at geekcavepodcast.com for news, videos, and links to all of our socials. So I believe it's your turn next month.
I believe it is. And I think I've got something fitting.
All right. Well, until then, bye.
Bye.